Okay, well, sort of the purpose for sharing this and prayer is that, you know, prayer is a very, very common word. It is 650 different prayers in the Bible. So there's a lot about prayer. Prayer and references to prayer appear in 62 of the 66 books of the Bible. Anyone know what book it doesn't appear in? Anyone? Which ones? Okay. One of them's Song of Solomon. Another one's Haggai. But there's four it doesn't appear in. So it is a very common thing. And sort of a usual definition for what I would call sort of normal type praying would be two-way communication with God. So we communicate with Him, He communicates with us, and that's generally prayer. Now, kingdom prayer obviously has a different connotation to it, and that's really what I want to talk about tonight. But I will look at, in general, the different types of prayer there are, just to start. Adoration and praise, it's a type of prayer. Confession, thanksgiving. Supplication, which means petitions for personal requests, and intercession for others. It's covered by supplication. There are different types of prayer that the Bible talks about. There are lots of other types of prayer as well. A dictionary definition is a reverent petition made to God. And the word petition we'll look at a little bit in a minute. But also, prayer is also in the whole legal scene. So they use prayer as a request of a complainant, as stated in a complaint or an equity, that the court grant aid or relief solicited. Now, all legal terms, I've no idea what that means whatsoever, really, but it is a legal term, prayer, which is a strange thing, isn't it? But then, so is petition a legal term, and they do go together, as we'll see. Petition, request, supplication, entreaty, thanksgivings are all types of prayer. Obviously, Jesus talked about praying. Matthew 6:9, pray then in this way. So he was giving them an illustration of prayer. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. Now, the focus there, where is the Father? In heaven. So where is the kingdom supposed to come from? From heaven. Now, we often pray this prayer, and we've been taught to pray it in schools and religious institutions and all sorts of stuff, and basically it's like almost like a rhyme, and it's lost its meaning. The reality was, Jesus was saying, you have to look to heaven. That is the point of prayer. We're looking to heaven, and we're looking for heaven to come to earth, and that is what we're looking to pray for. What is God's will in heaven to be outworked here on earth. Now, it does say, yes, we can ask for our daily needs, but what, in context, our daily needs are for is so that we can bring the kingdom from heaven to earth. It's not just daily needs in disconnection with God, it's daily needs in connection with what God's desire is for us and what our purpose is here. Ephesians 6:18, with all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit. So prayer needs to come from our spirit, not our head, and not our emotion either. It's something that comes from the Spirit. Our head and our emotion can be used by our spirit. So crying is part of prayer. At times, interceding sort of with strong emotions, great. But they don't lead the prayer. They're led by the Spirit. And with this in view, be on alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. So another thing associated with prayer is perseverance. In other words, sometimes it doesn't occur on the first prayer. Sometimes we need to keep praying until we see the answer. 1 Timothy 2:1, first of all then I urge you that entreaties and prayers, petitions and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all men. And this is sort of the general scriptures people will use about prayer, type of prayer we use. Entreaty, an earnest request or petition or a plea. Petition, a solemn supplication or request to a superior authority. These are dictionary definitions. A formal written document requesting a right or benefit from a person or group in authority, which is interesting. So again, it's got a legal connotation to it. In the law, a formal written application requesting a court for a specific judicial action, a petition for appeal. Again, that is something which we're going to see has very much kingdom application, because it's very much what, and when we're looking in terms of kingdom prayer, we're looking for a judicial answer a lot of the time. The judicial action asked for in any such request is all part of that. Something requested or entreated. They're sort of definitions. Matthew 7:7, keep asking and it will be given to you. Keep seeking and you will find. Keep knocking and it will be open to you. And those keeps are, they're all in the present tense in the sense of ongoing. We knock and we keep knocking. We keep seeking, we keep doing it. It's not something you do just do once and then give up. Perseverance. And Luke 18:1 says, men always ought to pray and not lose heart. And then Jesus goes on to talk about the parable of the persistent widow who kept knocking on the judge's door until she got an answer. And in the story it was like, he's like, I give up. It's like, now it was basically not saying that God's there sort of like we have to twist his arm, but actually he wants to know our hearts. Do we really want to see the answers, or are we just, oh well, just pray and leave it? Actually, sometimes we need to be persistent. Matthew 21:22, whatever you ask in prayer you will receive if you have faith. Faith has to be associated with prayer. We can't pray in unbelief. In other words, a wish. A prayer isn't a wish. It's something we believe that God desires to give us. Otherwise, why are we asking for it if we don't think God desires to give it? So in that sense, we need to be praying according to his will. In Mark 11:24, it says, therefore I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you have received it and it will be yours. Which is again an interesting idea. You have to believe that you've already received it. And that is because you can know you've already received it if you have access to before it happens. So time in heaven is different from here. So you can connect it to heaven where it is before our time. So yes, you can go there and get the answers to prayer before they happen and actually already know that you've received it, because you've done it in the kingdom realm. So you do it in the spiritual realm first so that it can come into the natural realm. And therefore we have to believe. You know, it's no point praying if you don't believe. I know people can cry out to God, help, and God answers those sorts of prayers in desperation at times. But as Christians, he's calling us to come into a relationship. And the relationship is so that we can know what his will is. And therefore, if we're asking according to his will, John 14:13, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, so that my Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. In the name is in the representative state of. So it's like we can't just tag in the name of Jesus on the end of any old prayer that we pray and it make it work. It's not a magic bit that we tag on in the end and we're bound to get the answer. In the name of Jesus is as if Jesus was praying the prayer. We're here representing him, therefore we need to know what it is he wants us to pray. Colossians 4:12, Epaphras, who is one of you, disciple, and a servant of Christ Jesus, sends greetings. He is always wrestling in prayer for you. So there's a sense where actually sometimes we have to contend and wrestle for the answer, because there's opposition to our prayers being answered. The enemy does not want our prayers to be answered, therefore he tries to oppose us and cause us to give up, to intimidate, to block, to restrict and hinder, so that we get frustrated, we don't get the answer and we stop. But we have sometimes to wrestle. In fact, Ephesians 6 talks about our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Again, that is done not here, We don't wrestle and fight with flesh and blood. We actually need to deal with the spiritual realm first before the natural realm can be outworked. And that's part of really what this is all about. Matthew 11:12. For the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent men take it by force. There's a sense where you have to really pursue the things of the kingdom because there is opposition. And therefore you have to enforce the rule of God, the kingdom, because there is an opposite seeking to oppose. So we have to do that. Where do we do the wrestling? We actually do the wrestling in the heavenly places first, to exert the kingdom authority there, so that that can be outworked on earth as it is in heaven. And you know, that is the difference in praying it this way and what I'm going to teach you, than just calling out on God and hoping he's listening, or sort of, well, you know, is it getting through? Has he heard me? Well, actually, when you do it in his presence, so you know he's heard you. So there's a big difference between praying in his presence in the heavenly realms than praying here and hoping that he might have heard. We can have assurance that he's heard when we're praying in the right place. Daniel prayed and it took 21 days for a reply to come. And we know in the story it was because there were spiritual forces in the heavenlies actually stopping the answer coming in the form of an angel. So there was stuff going on. Daniel was wrestling from earth, but the battle was taking place in the heavenlies. So if he was able to access the heavenlies, he could have won the battle and not had to stay here waiting, hoping for 21 days for an answer to turn up. Now you think, well, why didn't he do that? Because he didn't have the revelation. This revelation, most of it is New Testament, because Jesus opened up a whole new revelation about prayer in his teaching and what he did. Now, 1 Corinthians 14:4, so one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Now, praying in tongues is still a key to praying in any way, because it edifies us, which means our spirit is built up stronger to tune in to God in the heavenlies, because that is a spiritual activity. So it's important that we actually see praying in tongues in preparation for other thoughts of praying. Praying in tongues to get a flow of revelation is really, really important. Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit." So it's praying with my spirit and the Holy Spirit joined together in harmony and unity, which brings a flow of that revelation through our spirit. Our Holy Spirit and our spirit in harmony, Romans 8:26. In the same way, the Spirit also helps our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we should. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. Sometimes you are just at a loss. In those occasions, the Holy Spirit can actually really move, and sometimes it's like we don't use words. We groan. And there's a sense, sometimes there's a groaning in prayer which comes from something deep inside in the spirit. Matthew 6:33, "Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be added to you." And all these things were all the things people usually pray for. Physical needs. So somewhere to live, something to eat, something to wear, all those type of things where people worry about. If we seek first the kingdom, God's will, in seeking first the kingdom, everything else will be added. So the priority is to seek the kingdom. Well, where do you seek the kingdom? You seek the kingdom where the kingdom is, in the heavenlies. And that obviously works through us, because the kingdom then is manifested in us and through us. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. So we need to seek the kingdom in the heavenly realms. That is where then we can actually outwork it on earth. Hebrews 4:16. "Therefore let us draw near." Where are we drawing near? We're drawing near to the presence of God in the heavenly realms. "With confidence to the throne of grace." The throne is a place of rulership. Grace is the enabling power of God. Divine power. That's what grace really is. It's the divine ability of God to get something done. So we can draw near with confidence when we go to that throne where God rules, where his kingdom is manifesting, so that we may receive mercy. That means if we've messed up, we can go and not get what we deserve. So we get mercy and grace, the ability to help in time of need. And to be honest, every minute of every day is a time of need, because we need to know the revelation of God and what God's doing. If we don't know what God's doing all the time, then we're just doing what we want, or doing what we think, or doing what seems right. We need to be flowing in what God says all the time. So we always need to be coming to the throne of grace to receive those things that we need. Hebrews 4:14, which is two verses before, so therefore, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. So when we draw near to our high priest who has passed through and is high above all authority in the heavenly realms, and we can draw near. Psalm 24:7 says, "Lift up your heads, O you gates, be lifted up, you everlasting doors, and the King of glory shall come in." Who is the King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. So when we need that grace of God, that power of God, we need the King of glory to be manifested, because he is strong and mighty. He's the one who wins the battles. Now, to be lifted up, O ye heads, what that is basically talking about, the head represents authority. It represents your authority as a head over the things that God has given each of us authority over. So the kingdom sphere in our lives, every one of us is a head. We're a head in our family, we're a head in our workplace, we're a head in different areas of ministry perhaps. So we have authority there. The gates represents access points in and out. So when we're lifted up, which means lifted up into a place of authority, then we become a gate. When we're lifted up, everlasting doors are lifted up. So that opens heaven to earth. So heaven can touch earth through us when we're operating in kingdom authority. But we have to be lifted up to do it. You can't do it from here. That's the biggest problem with prayer, is most people cry out to God from here hoping something is going to change and be different. And because God is gracious, he does answer some of those prayers eventually. But really what he's actually saying is, you come here and exercise your authority and you make those things happen, because I've given you kingdom authority to do that. We're asking God to do a lot of things that he said, well, I've already given you authority to do. So when we come to know about kingdom praying, we're actually exercising the authority he has given us to change things. Zechariah 3:6 says, "The angel of the Lord admonished Joshua." Now Joshua is the high priest, and Joshua was in the presence of God in the heavens. And it says, "Thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my ways, and if you'll perform my laws," that literally means outwork my principles, "then you will govern my house and have charge of my courts, and I will grant you free access among those who are standing here." That is in the heavenly realms. Okay, so there is something where God is basically saying, if you will do things my way and not your own way, if you will outwork my principles, then you are going to govern, you're going to rule, you're going to have authority of my house. Well, first of all, my own body is a house of God, because God dwells in me. The church is also known as the house of God. So in a sense, there is authority to be exercised in that. Also, there is this way of having charge of the courts. Now, I'll go into that in part two tonight, but the courts are where judicial things go on. It's where there's a judge who makes judgments. So that's the court system, where we can have charge of courts. So we are called to make judgments, and we'll look at that later. Psalm 89 verse 14, "Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne." mercy and loving kindness and truth go before your face. Righteousness and justice are the foundations of the kingdom. So in prayer, what we're looking to bring from heaven to earth is righteousness, God's way of being and doing, and justice. Justice says this is a judgment decision on what is right and wrong. So there's a sense of justice, things being worked out according to God's will. Psalm 45:6, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of righteousness is the scepter of your kingdom. And one of the symbolic things of ruling is a scepter. And if we're going to rule in the kingdom, we need to know we have authority, and God gives us that with a scepter of righteousness, because we've been made righteous. We didn't make ourselves righteous, He made us righteous, therefore we have a right to rule with a scepter, and that is the scepter of the kingdom, bringing the kingdom in that way. Now, we've used this picture to describe the heavenly realms before. So you've got three layers under the earth, which is dimensionally, it doesn't mean literally under the subsoil, it means in a place of dimension which is described as under the earth. We have the atmosphere of the earth, the kingdom of earth, and then kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven, heaven, and then further on into heaven, the heavens onwards. Now, in between the kingdom of God in heaven, in the heavens, and the kingdom of earth is the atmosphere where principalities, rulers, darkness, spiritual wickedness, and all that stuff operates. They operate in the atmosphere. It says Satan is the prince of the power of the air. Now, it's not literally talking about air, it's talking about atmosphere, a dimension which is around us, which we have to deal with. Now, this is where we walk in his ways here. But we need to use his principles in the kingdom, then we can rule his house as lords. Now, lords are those who have authority. Jesus is King of Kings, Lord of Lords, therefore we're the lords that he's lord of. Then we can judge the courts as kings, because kings make judgments. And it's important to understand the whole thing of judgments, and we'll look at that later. And then ultimately, as sons, we can have access to stand in the heaven of heavens. And there's stuff that goes on there which is beyond most people's comprehension. But it's the right of sons. Now, we're coming into sonship because God is looking to manifest sons on the earth, where we are operating like joint heirs with Christ. So we are joint heirs to all the authority that he has. So there is our inheritance, is to bring God's rule and God's kingdom from heaven to earth. How we do that is we have to deal with the atmosphere of the earth to bring ruling in light, ruling in love, ruling in righteous power. So if you're influencing that atmosphere, you will bring that influence to this earth. If that atmosphere is clouding and in control, it's very difficult to actually deal with that. Now, in the past, people have tried to deal with the principalities, powers and type things from here by shouting at them or binding them or doing something to sort of try and stop them. Whereas what I believe God is actually saying is, if you use my principles above that in the heavens, then you can actually change that from there rather than here. And it's much easier to change it from a place of rule and authority in the heavens than it is trying to actually change something which is spiritual in the atmosphere. And God wants us to bring the kingdom, therefore we need to learn how to do it. Now, every one of us has our own authority spheres. Yours might be your family, your workplace, could be you've got an authority sphere in the church, it could be that you have a calling from God that he's given you authority to deliver, it might be a gifting, so someone could be a prophet or prophetic ministry or other gifts, healing gifts, where you've been called to rule. It could be you have a ministry and a whole area that God has called you to particularly serve in. All those things you have to rule as a lord in, because they are authority. You have a mandated scroll which says you can rule in this. But you have to rule. It's not automatic. You have to actually access that authority and come from a place of faith to actually bring that rule from heaven to earth around you. So, as I said before, in times, it's like your circumstances is the circle which you stand in. You have authority over that circle. And if anything comes into that sphere, no matter how big it is, it might just be 3 feet around you, anything comes into that sphere, you have authority to influence them. That sphere could be quite large, depending on what you're called to do. But in that, we have to understand that by faith, we can exercise authority. But if we don't believe that, it won't happen. So we need to know that. Now, as a church, we have areas of authority and mandates in terms of to bring life transformation, to bring health, freedom, harmony, prosperity, blessing, enterprise, media. Those are the seven mountains of authority and mandated things that as a church we have. So we need to raise people up to operate in authority over those areas within the ministry of the church. Now that is the ministry, so we bring that to each other, so we bring health, we bring freedom, so that we're living in that, but ultimately so we manifest that into the community. So we go from seeing healing in our meetings to actually seeing healing to the community. You know, we go from seeing freedom in people's lives here to actually seeing that impact in the community. To do that, we have to change the atmosphere of the earth, because people's lives are controlled and dominated by what is going on in the atmosphere with what's called principalities and powers and spiritual forces. Particularly if they're not Christians, they are under those influences. Even Christians can be under those influences if they're not aware of them and know their authority. So we have that authority as a church. Now, how this works, and I've shown you this diagram before, it's like as we are ruling in that heavenly realm, we have access to the everlasting door to open it, because we are lifted up as gates, heads, authority. So literally, we want to manifest the light. We want to bring God's kingdom. God is a God of light. That's what it says. He's spirit, he's light, he's love. We manifest that from heaven to earth. Now the problem is, the enemy wants to block it. So in the atmosphere, the enemy uses our sin, people's sin, to actually block the flow of life that comes from heaven. Now how does he do that? Well, he has to have access to do it. So in the area of the ministry of the church in terms of this, what God has shown is that fear is always one of the things the enemy uses. Always fear, because fear will totally contradict faith. Fear means unbelief and doubt. So in that area, the enemy uses authority. A fear of authority, or a fear of not using authority. And we've seen that in the whole area of sickness. It's about unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a key that the enemy can bring sickness through. So there's lots of them there that we've done before. Pride, judgment, all those things. Now, effectively, we have to deal with them in the heavenly realms, and we have to deal with them here. So it's no good in the heavenly realms saying, right, okay, we're taking authority over fear, when everyone is operating in fear. You have to actually deal with what is going on here, because what's going on here fuels and gives authority to the what's going on in the heavenlies. Does that make sense? So the enemy only has access if we give him access. So if we are in fear, it says in Job, what he feared came upon him. So the devil has access to bring things that we fear upon us, because it's a legal right. So we have to deal with the fear. And all those things we have to deal with. So when we deal with them and we remove them, actually we can get the fullness of God's kingdom come. So we can get the manifestation of salvation and the good news, a manifestation of healing, manifestation of freedom and freedom from oppression, the favourable year of the Lord. We can actually see that actually producing an area which we would call revival. When we open the heavens and see that light coming down and manifesting around us, that's what we call revival. We call it the presence of God coming in such a way that everything operates in an open heaven. But we have to keep that heaven open. Therefore, we have to keep guarding our hearts, and we have to keep dealing with things from the realm where all those thrones are. And what I want to really teach you is what we do on those thrones, in our own life, in church life, to ensure that we're living under an open heaven. So when we deal with things there, you see, you don't have to go and remove darkness. You just have to bring light. Darkness goes when light comes. So when we start manifesting the light of God's kingdom in the heavens and it starts to come down to earth, it pushes out all the things that are in the heavenly realms. We don't have to actually go there and literally do it. We just have to deal with the things in the heavenly realms. So picture that. Say, there's the sphere of earth. That's the atmosphere of the earth around it. And there are rulers, principalities and powers in that atmosphere. Then there are the heavenly realms. And between that, there are everlasting doors. Each of us has levels of authority in that realm, personally. Different levels. Some becomes, as I talked about, your personal level in family. Then it can go to a higher level when you're called to different things. The church also has those authorities in the heavenly realms. So what we have to do is we have to access the heavenly realms. You don't have to go through the atmosphere of the earth to access the heavenly realms. The door is open directly. Okay? It's direct. You can go straight there into the heavenly realms. Then from the heavenly realms, as we access that, we then bring the light from that realm back through the atmosphere of the earth. And you can do that deliberately. You can come straight back here without going through the atmosphere of the earth, or you can deliberately actually say, right, okay, this light that I am bringing, whether it's through declarations, whether it's through binding and loosing, other things which we'll look at in a minute, actually we bring that from heaven to earth. Then what that does, that actually gets rid of those principalities and powers. Then what happens then is our sphere of influence widens, because we've actually widened the field that we can operate in. Now, to do that, you need to know your authority. So you need to know the spheres that each of you are called to deal with. You know, even if it's just the basic one, I have authority over my life. So I have authority over the things that go on around me. That can go to family, other things. Family, workplace, destiny, calling, church, locality, region, nation. Some people have got national authority. Some people have got international authority, because they operate that in God. And that authority is to manifest the kingdom on earth. Authority to change the atmosphere and environment in your sphere. Authority to destroy the works of the devil in your sphere. Jesus came to destroy the works of the evil one. Authority to subdue and exercise dominion in your sphere. And in this, there's a training process of humility. Because we can't come at it with like, yes, I'm this big I am. Because remember, who is it that's the King of Glory? Jesus. It's like, we're just there a gate for Jesus to operate. For him to manifest. It's not about what we do, it's about what he does through us. So we have to learn that the kingdom is all about allowing God to work his will through our lives and us getting out of the way and allowing him to do it. Matthew 6:16, Simon Peter answered, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." Now that came by direct heavenly revelation. He didn't come up with that by thinking it out. It came direct as revelation. Jesus said, "You didn't get that from flesh and blood. You got that from heaven." And it came out of his mouth before, and he didn't even know what he was really saying. That is illustrated by what he did afterwards, because he messed up 2 minutes later by trying to argue with Jesus. But Matthew 16:18, this is what Jesus then talks about. It says, "I say to you that you are Peter, and upon this rock..." Now the rock is that Jesus is the Son of the living God. Peter is not the rock. The Roman Catholic Church have built the thing on that Peter was the rock, therefore everything founded on that apostolic thing. The reality is that declaration that Jesus, the Christ, is the Son of the living God, is the rock on which the church is built. And Jesus says, I will build my church and the gates of Hades will not overpower it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall have been loosed in heaven. Now, this is the keys of the kingdom. This is the keys that we have to exercise authority through. And this passage has been so misunderstood and so mistaught that people don't know really what it means. Now, the reality is, whatever we do here has to be done in heaven first. Now, in previous eras, they thought that, okay, that meant, well, God must have done it in heaven first. Therefore, we can do it on earth because he's already done it in heaven. And I suppose there's a degree of truth to that. But actually, the reality is, we're supposed to do it in heaven first. So that we can then bind and loose on earth. Because it's already done the binding and loosing from a heavenly perspective from those thrones. Those thrones of authority within whatever sphere we're operating in, we have to do first in heaven. Same thing in Matthew 18:18. Truly, I say to you, whatever you bind on earth shall have already been bound in heaven by us. Whatever you loose on earth shall have already been loosed in heaven by us. And again I say to you that if two of you agree on earth about anything that they may ask, it shall be done for them by my Father who is in heaven. Now again, that's been taught that, well, okay, two people can come together, agree about anything, you know, and it'll be done. Well, we know that isn't true. It's like, you know, I can agree today about something with someone which is impossible, and it won't happen. You know, it's like I could agree that, I mean, who's bottom of the Premiership right now? Wolves, who are already relegated. I can come and agree that they're going to win the Premier League this season. It won't happen. Unless we go back in time and change an awful lot of things. So just agreeing with things won't happen. The reality is, if you agree with what is already agreed in heaven, then yes, it will be done. But it's because the Father is in heaven that agreement can take place. We're not just agreeing on anything, we have to agree on the will of God. And the only place we're going to know the will of God is to access it in that realm.
Sorry, can you say that again? Because it says two on earth.
Yeah, two on earth agree here, but the Father is in heaven. And it's like you can agree with all sorts of things, but the power in agreement is because it's agreeing with heaven. So two here agree about what is going on in heaven. So I mean, it's like you can agree with earthly things, it's heavenly things that we have to come into agreement with, because everything has to be done first in heaven. So we have to agree because it's already been agreed in heaven. Just like it's bound already in heaven because we've bound it there, we have to make declarations from heaven which actually then we can come into agreement on earth with. So it's our responsibility to actually make the declarations that then agreement can come on earth. That's what prophecy is. God says, this we come into agreement with it here and agree. Because he's already prophesied it from heaven. So our agreement is what God has said, or what we have said, bringing that thing from heaven to earth. Because he gives us authority to do that as well. So John 20:22, another key. When he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive the sins of any, their sins have been forgiven them. If you retain the sins of any, they have been retained. Now again, this has been taken to the degree that man has to confess his sins to a priest to get them forgiven. Now, that's not really what it's actually saying, but it is giving disciples the power to forgive sins. And I will explain that in a minute, because it's an important key to the things we got authority to do. One of the keys of the kingdom is forgiveness. So we have to bring our earthly sphere into alignment with the will of God already established in heaven. And then we will see things changed. But we have to understand what our permission is, what our authority is, what our ability is to access heaven, to carry out those spiritual mandates that we've been given. And you can't really do that from here. You have to have access there to do it. So we have to understand how to use the spiritual authority of binding and loosing. To bind literally means deo knit, is to knit, fasten, tie and wind. So it's all about binding something. Deomai, binding to petition. These are all different words that are used for bind. Deo, deoni, necessary, need to, ought to and should. Now that means that there are things which are necessary that we bind things to, come into agreement with. So to bind means to undergird, to heal, to hold, persuade, to steady, to cause fragmented pieces to come together into a whole, to put yourself under an obligation to truth, the kingdom, the will of God. So you bind yourself to the truth. You put yourself under an obligation when you bind something. It's like, well, I'm binding myself to God's will. That's the idea. The Old Testament word for bind, kashar, means to tie, to bind truth to minds and hands. Literally, that's what they used to do. They would get a truth of the Word of God, a scripture, and they would put it in a little box called a phylactery, and they would bind it to their wrists and they would bind it to their forehead. Literally, so that their mind would be bound to that truth and their hands would be bound to that truth. So they wouldn't do anything apart from that truth, which is the understanding of what binding is. Proverbs 3:3, do not let kindness and truth leave you, bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart. It's a scripture illustrating what to bind to the truth. Proverbs 6:21, bind them continually on your heart, tie them around your neck. In other words, bind them to yourself. Proverbs 7:3, bind them on your fingers, write them on the tablet of your heart. Like, it's a really important principle. It's like you have to bind the truth. You bind yourself to the truth and then you can start to outwork the truth. Another word in the Old Testament, kabash, to bind, to heal, to wrap up and hold together. And that's in Isaiah 61, he sent me to bind up the brokenhearted. So to bind up was a good thing, not a negative thing. And another idea of it is when binding is when a baby is wrapped close to the heart of a parent in a sling, that was what was described as binding the child to the parent. So I can bind my thoughts, my will and my life to the will and the truth of God, which is what binding literally does. Now obviously therefore you can bind other things to the will of God as well. We can do it for ourselves and others, but it has to be as it is in heaven, because the kingdom comes from heaven to earth. To loose, luo, means to break up, destroy, dissolve, unloose, melt, put off, which is what you do to the negative things. You know, you do not want to loose good things. You want to bind good things to you, and you want to loose negative things from you, to destroy them. Another in the Old Testament word there means to break, wreck, shatter, rend, tear, crack apart, disrupt, lacerate and burst. Now that's what we want to do to all the negative things that are around our life. We want to loose them, to completely disrupt them, to completely smash them. Loosing prayers, therefore, can shatter stronghold thinking and smash and slash deception. They're all very warfare-y type terms, because that's what we need to do to the things that hold us. And it talks in Hebrews about the things that entangle us and encumbrances that weigh us down and stop us running the race. We have to loose ourselves from those things. And we have power to do it in the power of the key of loosing and binding. Loose from the chains and bondage of the enemy. Loose by smashing, crushing, destroying any deception, stronghold and lies of the enemy. Which is good stuff. Matthew 12:28. If I cast out demons by the Spirit of God, then the kingdom of God has come upon you. Or how can any man enter the strong man's house and carry off his property unless he first binds the strong man? Then he will plunder his house. Now, a lot of people have taught that Jesus was saying, therefore you have to bind things in the heavenlies by this. This is talking about deliverance. And when you come to deliverance, sometimes you need to forbid demons from speaking, from acting, from playing up. And literally that's what it means. You take authority over them. But this is in demons, and that's here. The heavenlies is a different sphere altogether. We don't bind things in the heavenlies. Now, we have to make declarations from a place of authority. And that is from those thrones in heaven. So we can make declarations that bind to God's will. We can make declarations that loose from restrictions hindering God's will. We can make declarations that call things that be not. So we call prophetic things into being. When we hear what God says and what he wants, we can call it forth by speaking it out from those places. We can also release forgiveness from that heavenly realm. Now, there are mandates which are court orders. Okay, so we need to get a prophetic declaration from God. We can't make it up. It's not like, well, what would I really like to happen? I'll make up this prophetic and I will say it and say it and say it until it happens. It's like we only have authority to release God's will from heaven to earth, not ours. Only ours, when we come into agreement and alignment with God's will, do we have authority to release. Romans 4:17 says, call things into being that do not exist. Or in the Amplified it says, speak of the non-existent things that he has foretold and promised as if they had already existed. Which is what we speak in faith. We speak out the declarations of God's truth, his promises, the prophetic words that he's given. We speak them out from a place of authority. And then they are then active to be able to be outworked on earth. Isaiah 43 says, a voice is calling, clear the way for the Lord in the wilderness. Make smooth in the desert a highway for our God. Let every valley be lifted up, every mountain and hill made low. Let the rough ground become plain. Let the rugged terrain a broad valley. Then the glory of the Lord will be revealed and all flesh will see it. There's lots of things in the way of God's will being done. And it's our responsibility to clear those things out of the way. We do it by binding, loosing, making declarations, calling things that be not. Because we're going to see God's will outworked on earth. So it's removing stumbling blocks and obstacles to prepare the way from heaven to invade earth by declarations or proclamations of that truth. Faith statements of God's will. Call things into being, literally. So the keys of the kingdom, forgiveness, we've seen that one. How does that work? Sin gives power to the enemy to cause a veil of darkness or blindness over people. So people who aren't Christians are blocked from receiving revelation because of their sin. That's the only power the enemy has over people, is their sin. So if you can deal with their sin, then you can help them to come into truth. 2 Corinthians 4:4, in whose case the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving, so they might not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. So that's what the enemy does. He wants to stop people seeing God and turning to him. John 12:40, he has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart so they would not perceive with their eyes, perceive with their heart and be converted and I heal them. So there's a sense that sin causes blindness. Our declarations of forgiveness can temporarily remove blindness caused by sin. So, when we release forgiveness to people, it's not forgiveness for, well, they are now saved. It's forgiveness because we have the power to forgive sins so that the blindness is removed. The best time to release forgiveness is when someone is going to sleep. Because they get a whole night where they've got no power the enemy's got over them. And the Holy Spirit can work in their lives. So if we want to see people saved, the time to pray for them is when they go to sleep. By releasing forgiveness to the sin, it opens them up to the Holy Spirit. So rather than waking up the next day, having had a whole night with the enemy, they can wake up the next day with the Holy Spirit having worked in their hearts. Thoughts can come into their minds. They can be drawn towards God because God's been able to be at work in their life. We have authority to do that in the kingdom. So how does this work? I sit on a throne. That throne is in heaven. That's the throne of my authority, and literally the mountain is a symbol of authority. It could be my family or my workplace. By faith or in the spirit. Now, some of you say, well, I can't access the heavenlies. I've never been in heaven. Well, now I've told you that you have authority there. By faith, you can access that authority. God always responds to faith. So if you believe you have authority in the heavenly realms, by faith you can say, I am going to sit on the throne of authority in the heavenly realms, and I am going to exercise that authority by the things I say, by binding and loosing, all that stuff. It's like, yes, it's great to be able to see the things, and you know, some people can access it easier than others, and by practice you can do it. But literally you can say, right, I put on my mantle of authority, my crown, because I'm supposed to rule as a king. I take my scepter as a lord, and I declare, call forth, bind, loose, forgive. I'm doing it from a place of authority. Now, yes, you know, I've sat on that throne, I've seen the thrones. Most of the time now, I haven't got time to sort of go into the encounter. I want to go and deal with stuff. So by faith, I know I can go on the mountains and thrones that I have personally, and some of the church ones, and I can make those declarations. Or anybody can do that. So you have authority around your life, you can make declarations. If things are happening around you, let's say you're getting problems with your neighbours and they're causing you hassle, well, you have scriptural principles that you can live in peace. Therefore, you can take those scriptural principles and you can go onto that throne around you and you can make declarations that you bind your neighbours to the will of God for your life, which is to live in peace. You can loose them from the disruption and the things the enemy's trying to do to disrupt you. So you can take authority. You can call things that be not as if they were. So you call forth peace. You speak peace. You declare peace over your house, over your neighbourhood. So, and you do it from authority. Now, when you're sort of like here and it's like there's trouble with the neighbours, oh God help, will you do something? It's like, he's basically saying, no, I've given you authority to deal with it. You have authority to change things. But we have to exercise that authority. And, you know, yes, you can do it in the spirit. So your spirit can be there. You can see on the vision and your imagination, on the screen of your imagination, the throne and the mountain and the scepter. And you may well see pictures of things that are going on which give you clues to what to pray. But whether you do it like that or whether you just do it by faith, the key is do it. The key is exercise the authority and expect a flow of revelation to come while you're doing it. Expect God to show you things that are going on. Maybe your neighbours are committing a load of sin which is giving the enemy access to stir things up. Well, you can release forgiveness over them. If they're causing you trouble, you should be forgiving and releasing them anyway. And blessing them and praying blessing on them. Because declarations from this place is not just, right, I want this thing changed. You want peace between you and them. Blessed are those who are peacemakers. There's a whole round there where you can start operating as God gives you that revelation of how to actually do things. Now, I've got a whole load of binding and loosing type prayers, whole book full of them, and I've given you some excerpts thing. This is one you can pray for yourself. Binding yourself. Lord, I bind my mind, will and emotions to your will and purposes for my life. I do not want my soul to be able to establish any more hiding places for its wrong beliefs and bad attitudes. I do not want my soul to be able to justify and rationalize its deception and denial any longer. I do not want my mind looking for ways to rephrase its fear and its anger. I do not want my emotions reacting like fireworks or rain clouds. I obligate my will to yours, my mind to the mind of Christ, my emotions to the healing, balance and comfort of the Holy Spirit. I loose, smash, crush, destroy my song-whole thinking. I tear up and tear apart all forms of defensiveness, denial in my soul. I loose, smash, crush, destroy wrong beliefs, wrong ideas, misconceptions in my soul, which are like rubble getting in the way of its restoration. I am sorry for not having done this sooner. Your word says that to repent means to think differently, to change my mind, to regret my sins and change my conduct. I'm choosing to do this. Thank you, Jesus, for giving me these keys and the guidelines of your word to help me cooperate with my healing and restoration. Amen. Now, play that a few times in authority and things will start to change. If you mean it. Pray the words as a set of words, it won't mean anything. It has to come from authority. An example of praying for backslidden and the unsaved. Now this is just one little thing, and at the end there's a whole lot of others that go with this. In the name of Jesus, I bind so and so to your will and purpose for his her life. I bind to the mind of Christ, so that he, she will hear the thoughts, intents and purposes of the heart. Lord, I bind so and so's feet to the paths you've ordained for him or her to walk in, paths that lead right into your arms. I bind his or her hands to the special work you've ordained for him to accomplish in your kingdom. Special work that always brings special blessings. Help him or her to know that when he surrenders to you, then you forgiveness, love, mercy, power and authority will be able to flow through every area of your life. You can pray that sort of stuff over people. Now, can I bind someone against their will? I'll ask you the question. Isn't it manipulation and control? Well, the reality is you can only bind someone to the will of God for their lives, e.g. to salvation, their destiny, not to our will. Example, they will give us money or marry us or whatever else and things like that. We can't bind people to our will, but we can bind people to their destiny in God. It's eternal, and God's desire is that those people would come into a relationship with him. So yes, we can do that. And it's not controlling them, it's just exercising our authority to call things that be not, to speak over their life, to loose them from things that are holding them back, mindsets. And you know the sort of people you might want to be praying for salvation, the things that get in the way, could be logic, you know, it could be different things, it could be past experience. We have authority to actually do it. Alright, end of part one. So, just take a little break and stretch your legs. If you want any questions or anything,